This is HMM correspondent Alexis Goldsmith, and in the studio I have Extinction Rebellion Capital Region members Jesse Marshall and Bug Nichols. Welcome to the studio, guys. Do you want to tell me what happened today?
Thanks, Alexis. Should I start, Bug?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so today Extinction Rebellion Capital Region had its very first arrestable action in the Capital Region. We are down at the State Controller's office demanding that Controller Napoli divest New York State pension funds from the fossil fuel industry. Believe it or not, New York State, despite having this, you know, very exciting progressive new climate legislation, still has $13 billion invested in the fossil fuel industry. So that's pretty unacceptable.
So what do you mean by arrestable action?
Well, how many of us? 11 of us blocked the front entrance to the controller's office there in the lobby, and we, after a fashion, got arrested.
So you two individually, Bug, what were you doing during the action?
I was laying on the floor wearing a suit with blood, fake blood all over it. And for much of it, I was singing, actually, which was wonderful.
And Jesse, how about you?
I was seated across the entrance with my arms linked to a few comrades.
So 11 people were arrested, but how many people were there? And you said fake blood. Can you just paint a picture of what happened today?
How many people were there?
I'm so bad at guessing this. We should, I don't know, 50 people? Is that a crazy number? Higher? Is Dave giving me a higher? No, 50. We'll go with 50.
That's our official count.
Okay, and you had fake blood. Were there any other visual effects?
Well, we had a visit from the Red Brigade, which is some incredibly beautiful mute dancers that came to participate in our action and really helped to, along with the blood, create a very serious and intense scene of mourning. And I think the blood is intended to sort of highlight some of the violence of continuing to invest in fossil fuels.
Now, to me, I find the idea of this being an arrestable action oxymoronic, to say that wanting to divest from fossil fuels is arrestable while continuing to invest in fossil fuels is not arrestable. Do you want to speak to kind of that strategy?
Sure. So arrest is certainly not the only way to be involved in Extinction Rebellion. We do put a bit of emphasis on it sometimes with our actions because we feel like it helps us show how serious we are about this issue. I mean, we're really talking about an existential threat, not only to human life, but to life on Earth. Of course, climate change and ecological devastation are already causing extinction rates to be about 10 times higher than they would be otherwise. So yeah, it is this ironic thing where the center, the status quo in this moment is about as extreme as it gets.
Did the comptroller, Tom DiNapoli, make an appearance?
DiNapoli did not make an appearance, no.
What was the reaction of the staff in the building?
I think it was mixed. I was lying on the floor, so it was hard to hear. I know a lot of people were upset about being disrupted, which we totally understand. They're going about their work. They're not to blame for what's happening. The system is to blame. But I think there were also people who were really interested in what was going on and sort of happy to learn about that. Yeah, taking videos and stuff. And certainly there was a lot of people coming from their desks to witness the spectacle.
So what would you say the goal of the action was? Just to bring attention? Do you think Tom DiNapoli would have actually stopped divesting because of this action?
It's a really good question.
Would have divested and stopped investing in fossil fuels.
Right. It'll probably take a little bit more than this, but if you look at history, in situations where voting isn't working, where petitioning isn't working, people getting out there and causing disruption and putting their bodies on the line, it's not always the most popular tactic, but it does actually shift public opinion. And so that's really our goal, is to put attention of the public mind on this crisis that we're in. And if we can shift that opinion, we'll kind of change the landscape in which government officials like DiNapoli are operating, and create a different context and raise the bar a little bit.
And I think we're really trying to inspire people to take action and get on the right side of history here. I think it's really worth stressing, like, I'm just a normal person. I've never been on a radio show before. I've never been arrested before. I have a job. I'm not an official organizer, but I'm here. And I think that's who needs to get involved in these movements as regular people. It's time. If there was ever a time to get involved, now's the time.
Right. We've got such a culture of hopelessness and apathy. I think more and more people are realizing that this is a serious threat, and, you know, not in 50 years, but in 10 years, our own society's stability will be threatened. It's, of course, already causing death all over the world, including in this country. But there's this feeling like there's nothing we can do about it. And so I think just shaking people out of that stupor and just leading by example, honestly.
So bringing it back to your point, Bug, about how individual people are not to blame for going about their business because they're doing what they need to survive. You know, it's the system that's to blame. I find the role of the police in these actions very interesting. The police being the ideological state apparatus who are there to fulfill what is considered justice. You know, whether that, and it, like I said, it's hard to imagine protesting fossil fuel being unjust while continuing to invest in fossil fuels being just. But that makes me really curious as to how the individuals in the police feel about carrying out this action. So can you talk about how you were treated by the officers?
We were treated, I think, with respect and courtesy. And I think we always try to acknowledge that we're in incredibly privileged positions and that most Americans' experience and interactions with the police do not in any way resemble what we experience. But in general, the police were, very, very courteous.
So people have said that it's really hard to get arrested in Albany for protesting or for nonviolent direct action. What made this action different?
Yeah, I think probably the fact that we were blocking the entrance to a place of work. The building management seemed pretty concerned with our presence.
I think it was private property. Also,
right, it was private property. So that was different than, you don't get arrested blocking streets in Albany, doesn't seem like, based on what we've heard. But we were on private property. So the charge, if you don't mind me sharing it with our listeners, was trespassing.
So do you have a court date now?
Yes, indeed. Be my Valentine for me personally.
So what's next for XRCR 2020? This is just kicking off the year.
Yeah, so this spring in April will be the next global round of rebellions all over the world. So we're not sure exactly what we'll do yet up here, but it'll be something fun and hopefully big and meaningful.
Yeah. And I think it's worth always stressing this is an international movement, but for XRCR in particular, I think we're really trying to be in a cycle of, like, learn, rinse, and repeat, and grow, and bring more people in. And we're all learning and doing this, many of us for the first time, many of us are more experienced, but just trying to, I think, a culture of feedback, honest feedback, and reflection on what worked and what didn't work, and we have a forum where everybody can come and give their input on what worked and what didn't work. And we have, I think we'll have another action coming up probably in the near future.
And there's a lot more to Extinction Rebellion than trying to get arrested. So if you want to get involved, can you tell listeners kind of what the different roles are and where they should go to find more information?
Sure. Yeah. So thanks for bringing that up. Action is really only one piece of what we're up to. We're also trying to build a regenerative culture in which people are supported in confronting this reality, right? The truth is a scary thing in this moment. So there's lots of ways to get involved. We do a ton of outreach. We're growing really quickly. So there's phone calls to make, there's talks to give, there's trainings to give. Bug and I just learned how to train people in nonviolent direct action. So that's an example of some of the things that we're up to. We have gatherings. We're really just trying to build community because a movement is only as strong as the relationships that make it up.
I guess I'll just say I haven't experienced before participating in a group that so quickly builds an enormous amount of trust and intimacy between strangers. And it's just a wonderful thing to be a part of. And I can't stress enough that actions are not the only part of it. And regenerative culture is actually the thing I'm the most thrilled about. And in some ways to me is like more radical than our actions.
So where can we go to learn more?
Our website is xrcr.life, and you can find us on Facebook and Instagram as well if you search Extinction Rebellion Capital Region.
Do you have any nonviolent direct action trainings or talks coming up in the near future?
Yes, we do.
There's a talk, which is our sort of introductory talk that we encourage newcomers to come to. It's called Heading for Extinction and What to Do About It. And the next one is on Sunday at Honest Wait Food Co-op at...
I don't want to say a time. It's in the afternoon. It's in the afternoon. Like 2 or 3.
Forgive us. We just got out of jail. We're not as fresh as we might have otherwise been.
Yeah.
It's in the afternoon.
Aside from that, hopefully there'll be trainings. There will be more trainings offered coming up. And I would just encourage everybody to keep checking out Facebook. There's all kinds of amazing events. And can I mention the series about confronting racism? Mm-hmm. We have this ongoing series that's going on that's really, really wonderful. It's specifically targeted to white people to sort of help process the internalized racism that we all bear. And there's 4 more workshops. There's one coming up right on Tuesday, and I highly recommend it.
Well, Bug Nichols and Jesse Marshall, thank you so much for joining us. And for Hudson Mohawk Magazine, I'm Alexis Goldsmith.